live and local. It's Stiles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nuggets, the defending champs, coming to town, taking on the Kings. And Chris is incredibly excited.
Incredibly.
Cannot wait to go.
Barely can hold my excitement.
And Nikola Jokic already suffering from a little bit of what LeBron James has suffered from. A lot of people said they didn't want to give him that third MVP, even though the numbers look like it. When you talk about De'Aaron Fox, Jokic that year, what were they, when they lost to the Warriors, when it was him and a bunch of guys, a bunch of random dudes, right, because Jamal Murray was out.
Right.
And I believe Michael Porter Jr. may have been out as well, right, and Jokic did the best that he could.
Dude's crazy.
And there's already some fatigue about Jokic.
Yep.
And
I mean, people didn't want to give it to him last year.
No.
Yeah.
No, exactly. So
tried to turn it into like a big race conversation and everything, and was like, no, dude is just really good.
He's just really good, and you know, the way he plays is very unassuming, and Joel Embiid goes on to win it in 2023.
Right.
This battle of the big men, and it gets confusing. There's politics, dealing with the same thing with Jalen Hurts. We'll talk to Jason Dumas about it. Kron 4 sports director, Jalen Hurts versus Brock Purdy. What numbers? Is there a narrative? Do the NFL care, even though they don't technically vote on it? All these things, but Jokic coming to town, and they look like they are in position to do some things if Jamal Murray can stay on the court. That's what happened. That they were my pick, because a lot of people forget the Nuggets were really close to taking down the Lakers, right? In the bubble.
Yeah.
They almost got it done. They did it.
Yep.
Right. So then coming back that next season, they were my pick. Because they had bad intentions on their mind. Jamal Murray goes to Chase Center. He tears his ACL.
Yeah.
And then after that, the Warriors go on. I'm not saying that's why,
right,
but the Warriors go on to win it. Jamal Murray comes back. What do?
Yep.
They win it.
Pick right back up where they left off.
Exactly. So it is something that we should definitely be paying attention to, right? I don't think they're a one-off, but is anybody worried about the Nuggets becoming a dynasty? And here's the problem. As I have their roster up now, Michael Porter Jr., right, went to Missouri, could have been a number one pick, had, I think it was knee issues,
back
issues.
Yeah.
Justin Holiday, one of the 18 holidays in the NBA. Yep. Nikola Jokic, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who the Lakers shipped off because they couldn't deal with them. Jamal Murray, Reggie Jackson, Christian Braun, national champion as well. That's who's getting the most. And DeAndre Jordan, that's who's getting the most time here. And you look at that roster and you say, there's no way that's a dynasty-type roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the thing with the Nuggets is they, again, like we said earlier, they just don't really instill fear into their opponents for whatever reason. It's Nikola Jokic is just such a force multiplier. Like, him being on the floor makes everybody else so much better that you just, on paper, you can't really account for it. It's looking at just the names on the paper doesn't make you feel like this team is built for sustained success. But man, I'm telling you, it's the style of basketball they play. They're a really well constructed team as well. I mean, they're just like 4 or 5 years ahead of the Kings. Like they were very much in a similar situation as the Kings 4 or 5 years ago when they were the best offense in the league, and I think they got a 1 or 2 seed at that time, and then have just slowly tried to figure out how can we keep this offense but add some defensive pieces that make us into a legitimate title contender. And then you saw a couple of years ago when they bring in Aaron Gordon, that shifts things. It makes them a little bit more
defensive. Aaron Gordon. Minded. I didn't even say Aaron Gordon. He must not have played against the Rockets. So Aaron Gordon is a big one.
Yeah, and KCP as well is really good defensively and keeps them shooting on the perimeter. But, you know, I do feel like Denver lost a little bit this offseason as well. Like, with losing Bruce Brown, I loved him coming off the bench. I think he's like a perfect player to play next to Nikola Jokic. He does all the dirty work. they kind of are hoping Christian Brown can evolve into that, and I really like him. They also have Julian Strother, who they're really big on as well. They've got some young pieces, but that's how they're going to have to extend this run, is by nailing tons of late first-round picks. You know, the Warriors got Kevon Looney with the 30th pick in the first round all those years back, and now you see how that pays off for them. It took a long time, but I think that's kind of the route for success for this Nuggets team, is just keeping Jokic, keeping Murray, having that pick and roll be one of the best options in the NBA. You hope Michael Porter Jr. can stay healthy for a season. That's a big reason why they were able to win the title last year as well. And then, you got to hope that you get lucky on some of the young guys, but their organization has been kind of underratedly the best drafting team in the NBA, if I say so myself. Like, most of the core, I mean, MPJ, Jamal Murray, and Jokic, those are all homegrown talents. Yeah. And you had Christian Brown on top of that as well. It's a really good organization. So I feel like they'll figure it out. And when you have Jokic, you might not get the big names to come, but you'll get some really good pieces to come over just because they want to play with him.
Exactly. And, you know, we just talked about the Warriors and their trio. I think the biggest factor here besides health, right, you have Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, who have struggled.
Yeah, big time.
Would be Michael Porter Jr.
Yes.
Right, because I'm looking here at Bruce Brown. He went and got the bag. Now he's averaging 31 minutes a game, almost 32 minutes a game. He's averaging 11.6 points.
Right.
So who knows if Bruce Brown will actually be he's on the Pacers. Who knows if he'll actually be a real deal starter? That's for him to try out. You got to take these swings and see what you can do and chase a bag. That's what life is all about. Secure a bag. That's what we say on this show, secure a bag. So we get all that. But as far as Michael Porter Jr., you look here, especially with Jamal Murray being out, last game, Jamal Murray comes back, 16 points. Michael Porter Jr. against the Rockets, who look like the Olajuwon Rockets when they play the Kings. Michael Porter Jr., 30-burger. Double-double. 30-burger, 30 points, 10 rebounds. So comparing that core that we talk about that will allow you to be the dynasty, the difference between the Nuggets core three and the Warriors is after Steph got through his ankle stuff, they're fairly healthy, right? Nicked here and there. And then, like I said, they add Durant. But the only thing you really know about, and the reason I do not fear the Nuggets as a dynasty, is because the only thing I'm certain of, which is a huge thing to be certain of, is that Nikola Jokic is a generational talent.
Sure.
I still have two question marks. I still don't know if Jamal Murray can stay healthy throughout the course of a season. And even if Michael Porter Jr. does stay healthy, Michael Porter Jr., let's not forget, he struggled in the playoff last season. They fought through it. And if it wasn't for Bruce Brown, they do not have a championship.
No, 100%. Yeah, I mean, Michael Porter Jr.'s inconsistency is huge for them. Like, he has to be able to provide them something. Like you said, last year in the finals, he was so up and down. You point out his 30-burger. Look at that Clipper game where we're talking about Reggie Jackson and DeAndre Jordan going off. There's a reason why those two guys went off. It's because Michael Porter Jr. was just not there.
Oh, he played?
He was like 1 of 12 in that game. So that's really big for them. And, it's tough. Like, the thing that ended up dooming the Warriors, if you want to compare them to the Nuggets, like I was saying, the Nuggets are banking a lot on guys like Julian Strother and they love Zeke Nagy and they have Christian Brown as well. The Warriors messed that up. They had much higher picks to mess up, but the Wiseman pick ended up shortening this. I mean, imagine what the Warriors look like right now if they pick whoever your favorite from the top of that draft is, whether you want to say LaMelo or Tyrese Halliburton.
I was the Avdija guy, and at first I thought I was out, but Avdija's starting to figure it out.
Say whoever you want.
Warriors fans would compromise with Devin Vassell.
Devin Vassell. Like, I don't know if you're going to take Tyrese or Vassell at number two, but like, there were other options, anybody besides Wiseman, really. So if the Warriors nail that pick, and then the following season, can we officially say Jonathan Kuminga's a bust? I think we can.
Chris is not crazy.
Everybody stop.
Okay.
The following pick is Franz Wagner. You're telling me right now.
But Chris, if, we could do this all day.
No, but that is, it's the same position.
Okay.
If the Warriors just make, do something as simple, I'm not even saying, not even mentioning the fact that they, I don't even know if they messed up the Moody pick because Steve Kerr won't give him the time of day even when he's playing well. Right. Started him yesterday. By the way, that was funny. It pulls him as he's like making the comeback for the Warriors, and then he recognizes his mistake and then starts him. Anyways, I digress. Right.
It's a soap opera. Yes. It's a soap opera.
If they make that pick correctly and they take Franz Wagner instead of Jonathan Kuminga, and you don't mess up the Wiseman pick, that extends this Warriors run. Who even knows how much long? I mean, three, four more years if they don't mess up those picks.
Yeah,
that's what Denver's relying on essentially.
Yeah, right. To bring it all back home. I understand what you're saying. My problem with the bus conversation for Jonathan Kuminga is simply that you're on a team. This is what a lot of people thought with James Wiseman, but I do think it's different because James Wiseman is on a team where he should be getting run, and he can't start over your boy, Marvin Bagley. You can't even start over your boy. You took that jersey. I'm kidding. There was a jersey up here in the studio, and Chris said, hey, guys, don't touch it. It's mine. So
Don't touch it. That's for the cremator. That's what I said. I said, that's for the fire.
I said, Chris, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone.
Forget Bagley. He's not getting minutes over Isaiah Stewart.
Yeah. Exactly. So the only thing I will say is it's not as if we don't – it's a Trey Lance argument, almost. Almost. And we used to do Trey Lance versus James Wiseman. But even talking about Jonathan Kuminga, these good teams, it is tough to get drafted to these good teams. If you win a championship while having a lottery pick, how often does that happen? So
almost never.
I don't think Jonathan – because honestly, when I was in the Bay, when people were – firing up the trade generator in the Bay, I said, I know a bunch of dudes that can jump out the gym like Jonathan Kuminga. I am not even the biggest Jonathan Kuminga guy.
Yeah.
If we're saying, do we think Jonathan Kuminga is going to be generational, I will say, I don't. I think that conversation is starting to get dimmer, more dim and more dim. But Bus as number seven, I think he could still be a good player.
At the very least, we can say it's the wrong pick. It happens all the time. I shouldn't have made it about Kuminga. It's more about the Warriors' decision.
But now
the
I know you got something in the
Warriors
tank for
made
Kuminga.
The wrong pick. I mean, whatever. Kuminga's. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I have still seen way too much raw from Jonathan Kuminga and not enough actual tangible.
You got
things
a bag
that
on
you can
Instagram
day to day. Sure, that's great. It's more just the Warriors messed up that decision. Yes. Whether or not Kuminga's a bust or not, they clearly could have had a much better option in Franz Wagner, and I guarantee Franz Wagner. I kind of think it's easier to join a successful team. I think you're asked to do less, and sure, you might not be able to do everything you want to do, but I think as a rookie, it's a lot better to slowly integrate than to just say, go out there and say, show us what you got.
Yeah. We got to go. Kyle just said we got to go. But the only thing I will just say quickly is that I guess there's just more leeway for a team like the Warriors, because you did draft, I don't know if you want to put Draymond in this category, you did draft two generational guys in Steph and Clay from a shooter standpoint. And I would put Draymond there as a defender.
Yeah.
So those misses, albeit bad, every team misses, but every team doesn't hit like the Warriors. The Nuggets, they got Jokic.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if Jamal Murray is generational, and I don't know if Michael Porter Jr. is generational. Right. So if you do miss on top of your guys not being generational, which it is hard. It's a gamble, right? Yeah. Teams miss all the time. That's why I'm not confident. It's not about them being in Denver. It's not about Jokic having credit card hops. It's just about I don't know what the other two are yet. So got to go.
Biggest thing for me, Jokic, playoffs, who's going to stop him? Like that's also – that kind of ended up being the story of last year was it, you know, Jamal Murray doesn't have to be generational. He just has to make threes. Same with Michael Porter Jr. Right. Because Jokic is getting 35, 15, and 15 every night.
Or Michael Jr. doesn't. Michael Porter Jr. doesn't have to make threes. And you can still win. You can still win because
still
of the
KCP.
Threat. Still got KCP, who, you know, every time he plays the Lakers, he want to get his lick back. Gotta go. When we get back, we're continuing to talk about the Kings and their matchup, their showdown with the Nuggets. Tomorrow night, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. the Nuggets, do you view them as a year-in, year-out threat? That really matters how you view Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. And we don't even know if you're going to view Jamal Murray as a threat tomorrow night because of that rolled ankle coming off a, I believe it was a torn hamstring. There are some guys, when it comes to injuries, that just have bad luck.
Yeah, that's got to be the worst. Yeah. Because, like, you know, we don't think about these guys a lot as, like, actual human beings who have to, like, deal with the recovery of these injuries. It's more just like, oh, man, that guy cannot stay. Like, oh, poor Ben Simmons, you know.
And yeah.
You don't really think about the fact that, yeah, this dude just spent, I mean, you probably have a better grasp of how long you spend on lower body injury, but... Man. He spent 6 months probably getting, he probably didn't even feel 100% to himself. Like usually it takes, you know, a month or so of actually being into game action to get back to where you feel like you left off. And then for game one, a couple minutes into your first action back to just have something else in the lower body as well. Like it's just thing after thing after thing with him. And I'm glad they got the ring. I'm glad he was able to stay healthy for that one stretch, but sometimes, like, weirdly, that's how guys' careers go, where it's just he was healthy for one stretch of time, and then he never really got healthy again. You hope that's not the case with Jamal Murray, but, man, it just feels like every time there's just something with him, and it's not injury-prone, like you said. It just kind of feels like bad luck with him.
I wonder, in general, how people view injury and the word luck, because I was golfing a couple... Was it last weekend? It was last weekend with another guy who tore his Achilles. For those listening, I know I've said it multiple times. We'll get into Aaron Rodgers, by the way. We'll do a comparison of Allen Stiles to a Hall of Fame quarterback Achilles recovery. How similar is it? But he tore his Achilles, and we were kind of chatting about it. And, you know, some people, when you tell them that you tore your Achilles, they'll be like, what are you trying to be Steph Curry? Or, no, I was just playing pickup. Yep. You know, that's all I was doing. Yep. And
just took a bad step.
No, just took a bad step. I'm just getting older, right? And a lot of people will say you need to stretch. But if you actually talk to a physical therapist, there are a lot of different theories. And the guy who tore his, he said, yeah, you know, a lot of times it's just mileage. And some people, just how your makeup is. Basically, that cold, that chilly morning in Alameda, used to call it Alameda when I lived there, when I'm hooping. That chilly morning, if I had done a couple more calf raises, would I have torn it or not?
Right.
Maybe not that day, but eventually it would have caught up to me. And it's really a question of how everyone's bodies are wired.
Right.
And we know these guys, for the most part, I'd like to think that these guys take care of their bodies. You see the funny stories of Marshawn Lynch eating Skittles, and I think with a DK Metcalf or something, some people just eat terribly.
Yeah, eat terribly.
But to some level, they take care of their bodies. So I don't know if the word is luck, but you know, you got to feel for guys like Jamal, and the list goes on and on, right? From Bo Jackson and the hip, Ken Griffey Jr. and the trajectory that he was on.
Maybe argue Derrick Rose. That's like the toughest one, where it's like, did he become injury prone? You know, like he was healthy for pretty much the entirity of his life.
Once one starts, it just kind of snowballs.
Snowball effect.
You know, I've actually had this theory as well. Are there some people that are almost just too athletic for their own body?
Oh, 1,000. Right? Like John Morant's, no, case in point.
Like Derrick Rose, what he was doing
at
that size.
Too high in the air.
No, you are not supposed to do that.
No.
Get down, sir.
Yeah, like Zion,
sir,
too. Get down. Where it's like Zion's a ticking time bomb, it feels like, if he's going to continue to be at the weight he's at. Not that he's overweight or anything. Right. That's a whole different conversation, but it's more just... Science says that if you're this large piece of mass and you're constantly exploding and landing and you're up in the air and falling, like at some point gravity's undefeated, you know, like
Father Time and gravity.
It's going to come back to bite you at some point. And it's scary. It's kind of the nature of the game though. I mean, like if you're a professional athlete, baseball, basketball, football, it just kind of feels like at some point everybody plays sports growing up. You're gonna deal with some major injury at some point if
Even
you play for your entire
Porzingis
life.
Porzingis is the original unicorn, and you know, the joke now, he's kind of in that Marcus Mariota range where he's always like day to day with some sort of injury because Porzingis has torn a knee and has injured his ankles. Mm-hmm. Like he's dealing with it now.
Always.
Yeah. And he's 7-plus foot.
Right,
you know?
Right. Like, people, you know, but it was funny because, right, he kind of came out of nowhere and Knicks kind of booed Knicks fans and things like that. Yeah. But you don't, the stuff that you heard about Chet, you didn't hear as much, I don't think, about Porzingis. Maybe because Porzingis, nobody really thought that the Knicks were going to draft him. Another guy, when we have the discussion about injuries, right? Yeah. And football is the main one, basketball, you wouldn't think baseball. And I have my thought process is that Giancarlo Stanton, as much as he's injured, he is a guy who either played, I think he played the wrong sport, and I think he's too athletic for his body. Because there is no way you should be that injury prone in baseball.
Yeah.
That tells me, I don't think he would be, everyone said, well, baseball's safer. I do think that's true. But I also think that there are people that just are dealt a bad hand, and you just can't have it all. Hey, when whoever the sports gods created Giancarlo Stanton, hey, you're going to be able to hit the ball 600 feet, but your body shouldn't allow you to do that.
Right.
Figure it out, right? And that's where Giancarlo Stanton is. And I don't think he'd be any more or less injured playing football than baseball, which sounds insane.
Right.
But let's also give Stanton a swing that puts all the pressure on his back.
That's also true. That's also true. And maybe if he... I thought the same thing about Bryce Harper, because Bryce Harper will hit his back and his swing. So maybe that's part of it, too.
Aaron Judge had oblique issues, too, and it's like...
Aaron Judge. So there are a lot of guys, and injury is just a part of sports that you hate to see. But, yeah, Jamal Murray and what he has done when he's on the court has been incredible. But you're just a little bit worried now.
Well, and to your point, too, I mean, they have two of those. They have two guys that you have to be hyper-concerned. We just spent an entire segment focused about Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Not even like Michael Porter Jr., who came into the league with back issues. Mm-hmm. Like, the Kings, there's a lot of, you can pull it up during the break, there's tons of stories of the Sacramento Kings were focused, hyper-focused on taking Michael Porter Jr., and they didn't because his physical was so bad. Like his back, the injury report on his back was so concerning that he fell, I believe, all the way down to 14.
Yeah.
And he was a guy who, when the Kings moved up to 2, they were at 7, moved all the way up to 2. They still considered taking him there because of how good he was, but ultimately didn't because his back was such a concern. And he missed his entire rookie season because of his back. He's had flare-ups here and there, and last year was really the first season he was able to play, like, I don't even know how many games he played, but he was able to at least do the playoff run as well. So.
And maybe he felt some pressure because he was finally playing in high-level games, and he wasn't.
Stay healthy.
He wasn't. Yeah. You know, we got to get to a break, but, you know, we love Chris's Harrison Barnes variants. I got another one, Klay Thompson variants.
Sure.
And would you give me Klay Thompson variants as Keegan Murray and Michael Porter Jr.? Are those two? You got athletic Klay Thompson in Michael Porter Jr., right? Because I would say Michael Porter Jr. has more hops than Klay and is more athletic than Klay. I don't know what version of Keegan.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Is Keegan just... I don't know what Keegan... Is he just young variant? Young Klay Thompson variant? Yeah. First of all, do you agree with Keegan being a variant of Klay Thompson?
I feel like, Keegan, like with how he was playing last year, definitely running off screens and all that. Yeah, I mean, especially if they're going to have him be the primary defender as well.
That's what I'm saying.
That's an interesting.
Is he
play.
Bag Klay Thompson because he's getting a bag now?
He's, I don't know. He's. I'll have to workshop that. There's something.
Okay,
there's
we're
something
taking
there.
916-339-1140. Is Keegan Murray a variant of Klay Thompson? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. When we get back, we are talking about the Western Conference. It's time to reevaluate the conference and where the Kings stand. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Dynasties, injuries, all the conversations here on this fun Friday. And we talk about, you should stretch more. I mean, this guy, Jalen Phillips from the Dolphins, 24 years old. Yes, he's had injury history, not necessarily his Achilles. I mean, do we think he's not stretching? You know what I mean? Some of this is just bad luck. As we discuss Aaron Rodgers, another victim of the Achilles, and Aaron Rodgers trying to make his return. This is from ESPN. They posted this story, and it says, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he turns 40 tomorrow, as we played with Carmichael Dave, the celebrity birthdays, and Aaron Rodgers is practicing so soon after catastrophic injury is another remarkable achievement in his career, but he's in a race against time. He has 19 days remaining in his 21-day practice window to convince doctors and perhaps himself that he's physically capable of playing a football game. If he gets medical clearance, he must decide if it's worth the risk. Coach Robert Saleh said Rodgers will play if he is cleared and wants to do it. Now, we're not going to get into the, I don't want to say the P word here. We're not going to get into the whys of why Aaron Rodgers may want to play, because I don't think we need to.
No, let's not.
It's just, it's impressive either way. Now, I am not a NFL Hall of Fame quarterback. I also didn't get that bridge surgery. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers did it. When was the first game? Was that August?
No, it was 9/11. He did the whole flag.
Yeah, right. September. Yeah. So we're talking about September, and now we're September, October. We are barely 4 months. Not even 4 months. Yeah.
Not even 3 months.
Not even 3 months away.
12 weeks.
12 weeks away from Aaron Rodgers' Achilles injury, and he is trying to play. Again, the whys of why he wants to play does not matter. If he does this, can't lie, it's extremely impressive. To give you some just
is it impressive
background,
or is it dumb?
But Chris, I don't know. Right now, I also
this feels like a stupid games win stupid prizes.
Maybe. I saw the slow-mo of him doing his little three-drop step back, and he's throwing the football. Yeah. I tore my Achilles June 21st.
Right.
I got surgery June 21st. I tore it a couple days prior, right? So I'm sitting on what? June, July, August, September, October, November. I'm at about the six-month mark, right, because it was late June. And I'm in the process now. I got to find a new physical therapist.
How long did they tell you it would take, like in terms of recovery?
So they said that I would be starting the process of running again in January. So the normal recovery is 8 to 12.
Okay.
So basically it's you
months, by the way,
8
not
to 12
weeks.
Months. 8 to 12 months. So basically I would be starting to run again in January.
That'd probably be like jogging, right?
Yeah.
Light jogging.
And then hooping, if I wanted to hoop again,
right,
you should wait a year. Now, I have an old coworker who was back hooping 5-on-5, and he either my age, I'm 33, he's either my age or maybe a smidge older. He's in my range, yeah, right? He was back hooping 5-on-5 in 10 months.
Okay. That feels extreme.
And he said, hey, Alan, I hit my PT. I did it. You can't be afraid. You just
gotta attack it.
I'm like, I hear you. But the way my legs work, I don't want to go through this again, man. So it really is on you. But again, that's 10 months, okay? Aaron Rodgers, we're talking about close to 3 months away in a football game.
Talking a little over 10 weeks. Just a little bit over.
In a football game, right? And you're stopping, you're starting, you're he was running
for his smashed.
He was running for his life to start the season.
Yes.
To start the season. Yeah. So if he does it, very impressive. But Chris, you're not necessarily wrong in terms of stupid. He's 40 years old. Do you really want to risk it when you're not in contention? I think that's the biggest part of this. If you guys were leading the division, and it's, hey, I can just, or you're close to make a run and the team looks great, and we can just, let's pull something off. Cool. You're not even in that position. I think that's the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand what the goal is, because even if he does come back as quickly as possible, what are the odds that it's going to mean that he's at his best? Like, again, what's the point in rushing back just to say you rushed back? If this is especially your last dance or whatever you want to call it, if you're truly trying to make a comeback and play football again, well, then shouldn't you want to return and make sure that you're as healthy as possible and you can do it for an extended period of time, whatever that may be? If it's another season, if it's another three seasons, who knows? But it doesn't feel like rushing back from a very, very, maybe the most serious sports injury you could have at the age of 40, as we learned this morning.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a good idea. It just doesn't sound like a good idea at all. And even if he does come back, there's a 0% chance he'll look anything like will he even be as good as Tim Boyle or Zach Wilson if he comes back?
That's actually a really
interesting. Because you can't put, like, I mean, if, I'm clearly if he can return
you
to football
action.
You see
me walk around.
I see you walk down the stairs and you have to kind of turn a little bit to the side. Like, how is this guy supposed to do a five-step drop back and throw it 60, 70 yards down the field?
I'm like,
that's what Aaron's going to sell.
Yeah, and I can start, because it's been a month now of me being here. Now I'm walking down steps normally, and I'm backpedaling, and I'm shuffling, and I'm doing different things. But that's also at the about the six-month mark here, or a little short of that. And I'm looking here. I said we wouldn't do it, but yes, we can say it without – Aaron is doing this because he's Aaron Rodgers. He's doing this to prove a point.
Yes.
He's not doing this to win football games. No. He's not doing this for his legacy. No, he's doing this to prove. No, he's doing this to prove a point. The Jets right now, I'm on tankathon.com. I love checking out Tankathon.
So good.
It's just fun. The Jets right now would have the 8th pick. They're 4-7. Mm. If you are smart and you want to really have a last dance, keep Zach Wilson or Boyle or whoever in there. I know it might not be good for Robert Saleh, but Robert Saleh, unless he's the one who said, let's roll with Zach Wilson, you should have one more year before it's like, Robert, what are we doing here? Yep. You get one more year, just stink up the joint for the rest of the season. Sorry, Jets fans. Yep. See how high you can get in the draft. Get Aaron another weapon or show up that offensive line or trade
it's the best quarterback class in a while, you know?
And go in. That's you said they get a quarterback?
No. I mean, people would want a quarterback.
Aaron would lose. He said no. Aaron would be at the draft with his Achilles, and he would say, you will not take this.
Run up to the podium himself.
The last time this happened, he leaked that he wanted a trade the next draft.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a good question. If they did take a quarterback, the Jets, let's say they scoot up. It's a fun Friday.
Yeah, why not?
Let's say they scoot up, and it's in Caleb Williams.
Sure.
And now, hey, New York, a little bit different than Arizona or Carolina or Chicago, whatever the situation is. And the Jets are thinking about it. Well, Aaron only got one more year.
Right.
What is the trade value of a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers with only got one more year? Who's the team that says, I'm in?
Falcons.
The Vikings. Let's do the Green Bay circle of going from Packers to Jets.
Why
and
not?
Then Vikings.
I hear the Raiders need a quarterback.
Vikings.
They certainly would take him. Raiders is a great shout.
If he goes Vikings, did Aaron Rodgers fully pull the Brett Favre?
With one less season in New York, but that's what I'm not rooting
the
for.
The Jets have a lot of question marks. And if I'm the Jets, honestly, it's either draft or I'll let Aaron go, because no disrespect to you, Aaron.
Yeah.
If you go out there and you do
and it happens again,
that's on you because you insisted. I know the doctors would have to clear him, but then we're going to continue losing, right? And then we're in the clear to get a Caleb Williams or a Drake May if they're available.
I think the problem with the Jets is that defense is, dare I say, like kind of Super Bowl ready. Like that defense is legit.
Right.
Like you can win with that defense next year if you put a half-decent offense out there. And that's where, to your point, like you're saying, like if you're the Jets, you can't really put your eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket again.
No.
You got to go out there and you got to say, I don't know. That's
Kirk Cousins. He's coming off his Achilles.
How about Kyler? Like, I mean,
I don't like Kyler in cold weather.
I don't love it either.
Ryan Tannehill's available.
Just some names.
Click. I just hung up.
Ryan Tannehill's already going with
Arthur. You got to get the dial tone sound on here. Who's calling? Who's calling? Yeah, we're not picking up. So, I think Aaron Rodgers wants to prove a point, and maybe he will. We will see. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will reevaluate the Western Conference. Where do the Kings stand? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 2 p.m. We will be joined. See, I was caught in the middle of maybe trying to do the McAfee thing and stand up, and then I decided to sit down, and I'm just going to sit here. I'm trying to maybe get the mic raise a little bit so I can get some stand. I got some stand hours in here, man. I got some stand hours, maybe an ergonomic chair. We're gonna switch some things up in here. Taking you up to 2 p.m., Chris Watkins, Alan Styles. We will be joined by Jason Dumas of Cron 4 News, the sports director also does work with 95.7 The Game at 1 p.m. to talk Niners, Eagles with a little bit of spin. Jason Dumas is from Philly, so we will get the inside track. And we also have an update here on Dallas Goedert, the tight end for the Eagles. Huge weapon for the Eagles that they've been missing. They also are winning, and they have not had him. Here is the update from Josh Tolentino from JCT Sports. Said he was initially told by team doctors recovery would be 4 to 6 weeks. Upon hearing that, he aspired to return within 2 to 3 weeks, participated in normal Friday activities, including pass catching and also blocking. Still no decision on his status for Sunday versus the Niners. Goddard said he'll meet with the team doctors, coaches, and strength staff today. He feels ready to go, but it'll be a team decision. I know Niner fans talking all that, but I know you don't ever hope somebody get injured, but hey, just be sure you're okay.
Just another week.
Just
be careful.
Be careful. You don't want to rush into things.
Yeah,
you don't
you're a big piece, man. Come on. They need you for the run.
They need you. Now, if he doesn't play and the Eagles lose, now, obviously it's not a quarterback, but you could say, hey, if I'm an Eagle fan, we didn't have Dallas, right? We didn't have Dallas Goedert. We didn't have all of our guys.
Is Lane Johnson supposed to play? I know he was on the injury report for a little bit, and I'm pretty sure they have like a ridiculous record with and without him.
Yeah, and the Eagles just have people that have been on that team forever.
Yeah,
for
Fletcher Cox.
And they're just vampires. They've just been the same age for the last 7 years. Yep. They were there. When it was, you know, when they won the Super Bowl, they were there for this Super Bowl. They just don't age out there in Philly. I don't know what it is. Here you go. Lane Johnson's at practice today. Good sign about his availability. That is from Chris Franklin, Chris Franklin News. So, yeah, he's out. If you get back both of them,
now you're really
cooking with some grease if you're the Eagles. And the Niners better come with it, because you know that the Eagles, like... Yeah. Just like Hassan Reddick said, there was a lot of boo-hoos and a lot of... I just love how he said it.
I know, boo-hoos.
There are a lot of boo-hoos. So we'll see what happens there as we break down Niners-Eagles and also Kings-Nuggets that will be tomorrow night.
Yeesh.
And Chris, how are you feeling right now about the Western Conference in the NBA?
It's kind of scary. I mean, like, we knew it was going to be scary. Right. We thought it was going to be deep.
It's as scary as it was at the beginning. As scary in practice as it was for us in theory.
Yes, I think so. And it's not even necessarily, and I don't think anyone was projecting this, but it's just that they all seem to be at the same tier. Like, it doesn't feel like anyone has really separated themselves. And there's just so many teams in the league right now that are at pretty much where the Kings record is, at that like 10-7, 11-8 record. There's pretty much all the top teams in the West are grouped within a couple games of that. Like, the Kings are the sixth seed right now. They're 3.5 games behind Minnesota's 14-4. But for the most part, there's like 6 or 7 teams who are just in that Kings win range. And I mean, now is kind of the time in the season where you separate yourself a couple games, and it's huge. That's really just been the biggest thing I've noticed, is that top end, there's no nights off. There's just no nights off in the NBA. You're not going to have, you know, 3 to 4 games, it feels like, in a row against competition you would say is probably not in the playoff hunt. It feels like you can't go more than 2 games without running into a Nuggets or into a Warriors or a Clippers team even. Because that's the problem, too, is even the bad teams got guys that you're like, well, you know, we're playing the Chicago Bulls tonight. Can't let, even though Levine's on the block, and I know they're resting him or sitting him or whatever for the next week or two, but they got talent. And, you know, Victor Wembanyama, we saw when the Kings played the Spurs.
Yeah.
Even they were a problem, and Portland was as well. So the biggest thing I've taken from the league so far is just truly no nights off. And, I mean, no one – also good news in the West is that no one has separated themselves. So there still is time to kind of, you know, find your footing. And I think the Kings – I think we can probably say they haven't found their footing yet.
And I don't know that any team truly has. Teams can get hot and then cool off as of
Orlando,
right now.
I'm looking at you.
Orlando. And
we
now
saw Houston do it earlier this year.
Right,
already.
Now Houston Indiana has fallen to .500. Right,
Houston still hasn't won on the road this year. They're 8-1 at home, 0-7 on the road this year.
That is not going to work. So I'm looking here. I know it's the beginning of December now, And a lot of people start to watch and start to seriously watch after Christmas, right? So that would be 25 more days until the season really starts after Christmas.
But John Morant's coming back in a couple weeks.
Exactly. But they got some...
They got an uphill battle.
They're 9.5 games back of the group, basically.
I think they thought they were going to be 13-4, and they're 4-13.
I think they were probably praying for 500.
I mean, yeah.
4-13 is abysmal.
I mean, they really thought, and the crazy thing is, I really thought Marcus Smart was going to be, like, I thought it was going to be not seamless, but I was like, you know, Marcus is...
For Dylan.
A starter capable guy, and I think the Trey Jones thing hurt, and I think, Tyus Jones hurt, and I think also no Steven Adams for the year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I don't know. I feel like the Grizzlies, even when they get Ja back, probably aren't going to be the team they were last year. Not even close.
I'll never forget when Marcus Smart was at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And
remember he shoved that fan?
Yes. Yeah. I will never forget. More fan. This is just a week of fan engagement and fan participation. I'll never forget seeing a comp of Marcus Smart and Dwayne Wade.
Oh, that did not age well. Did not age well.
No.
They can't shoot. I guess that's really the similarity.
Defend? I don't know. But so I'm looking here, and, you know, like I said, everyone said, oh, it starts after Christmas. But as of right now, the Warriors are the 10 seed at 9-10. The Rockets are the 9 seed at 8-8. The Pelicans are the 8 seed at 10-9. The Lakers are the 7 seed at 11-9. The Kings are the 6 seed at 10-7. Suns are the 5 seed at 11-7. Mavs, the 4 seed at 11-6. Thunder, the 3 seed at 12-6. Nuggets, the 2 seed at 13-6. And the Timberwolves, the 1 seed at 14-4.
9-1 at home.
9-1 at home. Who's the one?
Who's that one? I don't know.
Kings.
Can't remember. Can't seem to remember.
Not the Kings.
Huh? Come on.
The Kings and...
They've got some good wins, the Kings, this year. I was thinking about that
the
other day.
Quality.
Yeah, some quality wins. Yeah. If you're talking about, I mean, you know, you now got one over Golden State. Mm-hmm. You got a Dallas win. You got you could potentially have a Nuggets win this weekend. That would be nice. OKC, that's looking like a really good win.
Yeah.
Cleveland's looking like a decent win. You know, they've off to a slower start than last year, but you know, it's a positive to take out from the Kings because, yeah, when we were talking about, you know, the Mavericks schedule before they played the Kings, some teams, you know, the Kings have really gotten the short end of the stick. Both when it comes to conference, they have played, they've only played one Eastern Conference team so far this year.
That's rough.
And the Kings also have only had 7 home games. They've had 10 road games. So, I mean, that's about to balance out right here on this homestand, but the Kings definitely have had a bit of a tough schedule. And I would say coming out of it 10-7 to this point, I mean, you know, again, trying to not get, it's tough to not get lost in the day to day, but looking back at it, 10-7 is pretty good record for the competition they faced and all the situations that they've had to deal with.
Mm-hmm. You bring up a good point because as we figure out the landscape and how much people care about the in-season tournament, if the Kings start getting on a roll and the in-season tournament you win and you win the cup, right, you are the champions of the in-season tournament. I think everybody would be happy about that, especially in Sacramento. We know the past and getting back in the playoffs. I think everybody would be happy about that. There's no denying, right? But then you look at, man, the Kings were playing some really good ball during that time period, and you start to ask yourself, they're going to have to be more than one run, right, to get to 50 wins and up. But you start to think, man, not that I'm mad that they win the in-season tournament, but you're starting to look at the schedule. As I look at it, when is that run going to happen? So you have the Nuggets. You have the Nuggets at home, right? That's tomorrow night.
Yep.
And then you have this in-season tournament on Monday. We'll see what happens there. You would get that break. And as we mentioned earlier this week, that Eastern Conference team, that's the Nets. That would be the Monday, whether you win or lose the in-season tournament you would play on that Saturday. So it would be a Thursday game next Thursday and then Saturday. And then you have a back-to-back with the Nets on Monday and then the Clippers again Tuesday in L.A. Now, after that, it's basically you go back to every other day. It is a homestand. But during that homestand, when you talk about making that run, Chris, you have the Thunder at home. No slouch. They're the 3 seed right now.
Already took care of them.
The Jazz, that's a must win.
It is.
You have to win that
Gotta
game.
Got to take care of that one.
That's December 16th. The Wizards, I mean, that's a month.
come on.
You got to win that game.
You have to.
Now.
Hell no.
Now, here it goes, right? We got to get to a break. Here it goes. Those couple games where, hey, you got to have them, right? Then after that, December 20th, Celtics at Kings. Then 2 days later, I will be at this game as a fan. Thank you to the station. I will be taking my lovely wife. First game, she will be going to a Golden One. Suns at Kings.
Oh, that's a must win.
So you go. No? Well, that's
for you.
For
that's
me,
what I'm
it
saying.
Is. And it's a Friday night. We'd love to see a Friday beam. So that would be great. So you get Celtics at Kings, December 20th. Suns at Kings, the 22nd. Oh, wait. But wait, there's more.
Does there have to
Timberwolves be? At Kings, December 23rd. Then
Merry
you get
Christmas.
Another break. Yes, Merry Christmas. You get another break. Blazers, Hawks, Grizzlies with Ja, then Hornets. So that's your run.
That's your easy
Here's
stretch.
Your run. Got to get to a break. I know, Kyle. Here's your run. You try to stay 500, more than 500. You take care of what you need to with the Jazz and the Wizards. Then once you get to December 26th, you're on the road for a couple of them. Blazers, Hawks, Grizzlies, Hornets, Magic, Raptors, Pelicans, Pistons, Hornets, and then that's your East Coast. You
that's
go to
great
you go to the
Kings.
Hornets, you go to the Sixers, you go to the Bucks. Oof. So that's your run. Yeah. Those what were that six games?
Yeah,
gotta have them.
Gotta have them.
Gotta have them. Gotta get to a break when we get back. Continuing to break down all things Kings and all things Niners. We preview the Denver Nuggets. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.